Jesus makes statements like, even the elect will be deceived if that were possible. You know, that's a clarion call to us in these last days.
And, of course, the whole concept of the mark of the beast, the whole concept of the government, the global governmental power being set up in such a way that no man will be able to buy or sell, except you have that identifying mark and have as an evidence that you have submitted to its authority, which the Scripture says is an act of worship and will consign one to eternal judgment. I mean, this is what the Bible says is going to happen, and we can either agree with it or disagree with it, but if we do agree with it in principle, then that means that we have to readjust our lives and begin to build that end-time trust for end-time trials, or we will be sucked in.
Exactly. And at a very time that we're living in where that needs to happen, it seems as if there's such a strong movement in the other direction on the religious standpoint.
Oh, yeah.
And we're talking off the air about the, you know, the World Council of Churches that has represented the mainline Protestant denominations now for many years. And the last couple of years, they have held a major meeting in Rome. And there is a coming together now between the major Protestant denominations and Roman Catholicism. And I believe the next step, and it's already happening, is the promotion of interfaithism. So there's this false unity of so-called Christendom taking place, and now that element is prepared to merge together with the other religions as well. And it should not come as a surprise that the current Pope, Benedict, is promoting this agenda just like John Paul II did.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a little-known point of interest here is that the current Pope actually was a mentor to the previous pope on matters concerning dogma, and that's why there hasn't been a lot of change between the two popes. They're very much similar in their religious outlook. It's just that the previous pope had more charisma and personality, and personally I believe there are those elements in the hierarchy at the Vatican that would like to see the current pope leave just so they can get somebody younger and more vibrant in there to carry on the agenda. But as far as the agenda is concerned, we're not going to see a big change. It's going to continue to move toward interfaithism, bringing the world's religions together, a strong focus on Jerusalem and internationalizing that city, and bringing the world's religions together there. I believe ultimately,
well, that's happening as we speak.
It is. And I believe ultimately the goal is to make Jerusalem the religious interfaith capital of the world, and to have either UN troops or international troops of some type, maybe from an empowered European Union, stationed there enforcing Jerusalem as an international city, no longer under the direct control of Israel as a sovereign city.
Well, the Vatican declared its desire and intention to, you could say, almost rule and reign from Jerusalem.
Yes, you know, it's just a matter of time. Things are clearly moving in that direction. And every day you look at the headlines, and the point of most friction in the world is always the Middle East, you know, between Israel and Syria or Iran and Israel. Something's got to give there.
And all of this now is coming to a head. Barack Obama has decreed that there will be peace. And if it has not been accomplished by this fall, that he will impose that peace. And he already has his peace agenda in place. And the so-called quartet of nations, the EU, the UN, Russia, and the U.S. are behind him in accomplishing that. So all of these pieces now are culminating. They're coming to a head, just as you said. And here's a quote from a year ago on the Sunday Times, the London Times. It says, historians will look back and say this was no ordinary time, but a defining moment, an unprecedented period of global change, and a time when one chapter ended and another chapter began. The scale and the speed of this global crisis has at times been almost overwhelming. In countries everywhere, people have been feeling powerless and afraid, and now is the time for leaders of every country in the world to work together. There it is. That's the statement. And I have in front of me a Constitution for the Federation of Earth that was put together back in 1991. And friends, the foundations have all been laid. Gary, you have a website. Could you share that with us?
Yeah, we have a number of revealing articles on this subject on our website that people can read for themselves. And it's at garykaah.org. And that's GaryKaah.org. And so I hope people will take the time and check that out.
Right. You're doing a great job. Appreciate it. And again, his DVD, The Coming Globalization, Obama, the Middle East, Interfaithism, and the Vatican. Your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Just give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or you can get it on our website, saveus.org. Also, his book, The New World Religion. Again, your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. So you can get it on our website, saveus.org. Speaking of deception, you all are aware of my book that came out a year ago, Seduction of the Saints, that synthesizes many of these things in a series of chapters called The Isms of Our Time, and then moving into how this globalization is coming together in its final expression. So, again, thank you to Gary for joining us here on the program, and I want to urge you to become a partner with us, because day after day we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Day after day. And I want to urge you to become a partner with us. This is important, friends. This is ultimate business. This is ultimate business, to proclaim the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Remember, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole earth, and then shall the end come. Be part of that. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. In the middle of it all, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Thanks for joining us. God bless you, and be a blessing. You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views, because it's Open Line Wednesday, and we'll talk about whatever you would like to talk about. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And some of you may recall, I'm going to be giving a talk on the 18th of September. That's a little over about a week and a half from now, up in the Santa Rosa area, if you're interested. But in the process of researching this, I wanted to go into the background of what really happened at the Gulf of Tonkin incident. And certainly, you know, here this was used as the justification to get America into the Vietnam War. We lost 58,000 Americans there. Oh, they lost 1 million in the South Vietnam, 2 million North Vietnamese. We pretty well devastated that country. An awful lot of people were burned alive with the napalm bombs we dropped. And it was a totally cruel and inhuman war. We had Project Phoenix there, and a fellow named James Stockwell has written about that, where the government had a program of simply arresting people because somebody said they might be a North Vietnamese sympathizer, and torturing them, and sometimes they were tortured to death and killed. And there were about between 40 and 60,000 people killed in Operation Phoenix during the Vietnam War. You never hear about that today, but you can check the stories out. They're up on the Internet. How could you conceal something like that? Well, we were trying to win the war. And when you're in a war, the military does what they have to win. But they didn't understand we didn't go there to win. It was never a real war. It was a great diversion because it was during those years between about 1962 and 1973 when, of course, they took God and prayer out of our schools. And certainly our forces were over there in 1962. The war didn't officially start until 64, but our forces were there in 62, and it was that year when the Masonic-controlled Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools and then began to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., and then in 1973 found that a woman had a right, a constitutional right, to kill her unborn child. But the biggest thing was the change in America that occurred during that period of time as they centralized ever more power over the federal government in total contradiction to our Constitution. Vietnam was a complete and total diversion. Certainly the man who was primarily responsible for getting us over there, which of course Robert McNamara, he was deeply involved in the occult. In fact, there's an article in West Magazine we have, talks about how Robert McNamara and Henry Kissinger used to regularly go to occult meetings held there at La Boca Grande in Colorado, where the occultists from all over the world would meet on a regular basis. And there are even reports that David Rockefeller attended those, at least according to a book written by Dr. Dennis Cuddy, that these people all seem to have this fascination with this supernatural tapping into the other dimension. But they sent our boys to Vietnam to fight and bleed and suffer and die, but never to win. It was never a war we went to win. And basically, of course, the mightiest nation in the world fought a nation the size of the state of Mississippi for 10 years, and we lost the war. Do you really believe that happened? Ladies and gentlemen, it was all a fraud. But the biggest fraud was, of course, what happened to the Gulf of Tonkin. But I really would like to hear from you. I mean, this is open lines, and we're simply carrying on a dialogue till you call in at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But certainly you'll want to read the Wikipedia report of certainly the Gulf of Tonkin. Because, of course, it is a total lie, as so much of there and the Internet is. You have to learn who you can trust and who you can't trust. But to this day, they do not want the American people to know that all those boys who fought so bravely died in vain. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking about the Gulf of Tonkin incident. And it really is a tragic situation. If you go back and you read what is up on the Internet about it. Now, there is an interview with Robert McNamara, and he talks about, well, you know, maybe there was some exaggeration what happened on the 4th of August, but there were actually two attacks on the military ships. Of course, what most Americans don't understand is that we were already at war with North Vietnam. We had our special forces teams actually working there, working in North Vietnam, carrying out acts of terrorism. We were backing the South Vietnamese that were fighting the North Vietnamese. We had our troops there and training, and we were training the South Vietnamese, but we did have special forces there, and we were actually in a war zone in the Gulf of Tonkin. This was certainly someplace we should not have been, but they wanted an incident. And how are we going to get an incident so we could get the American people to believe we had to go to war? Well, suddenly there were two attacks. One was on the 2nd of August. The other was on the 4th of August. And if you read the Wikipedia definition of what happened there on the first report, the first attack, that was on the 2nd. It was during the daylight, the 2nd of August. And the other attack, of course, was in the evening, and Dave Robert McNair will admit that, well, maybe that was exaggerated. Maybe it didn't occur just exactly as we've been told. In fact, there was a lot of confusion as whether there really were any North Vietnamese torpedo boats or warships attacking our ships at that time. And this, of course, we're talking about the evening of the 4th of August. But That did not certainly change what happened on the 2nd of August, because it was on the 2nd of August that a number of North Vietnamese torpedo boats attacked the Maddox and another destroyer that were in the Gulf of Tonkin, and they fired 6 torpedoes. Fortunately, all of them missed our ships, and of course they expended all their shells in the, I think the Maddox had fired something like 205 shells at the other boats, and well, then, of course, if you read the report, they tell you about a man named Admiral Jim Stockdale. And, of course, at the time, he was a naval flyer. He led the group from the Ticonderoga, and they attacked those the North Vietnamese torpedo boats. And they didn't sink either one of them, that they attacked them, and he and the other people in his group, on the morning or on the day of the 2nd of August. They responded to the attack on the American boats, and they, of course, attacked the North Vietnamese torpedo boats, which retreated at that time. So that is basically the story that is told in Wikipedia. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're simply talking about so many of the things we read in the newspaper, we read on the Internet, just aren't true. And certainly there's some things, wonderful things up there, wonderful things on Wikipedia, but on the really important things that the government doesn't want you to know, I should say the invisible government doesn't want you to know, they will plant articles. And I was talking, and you can go up on the Internet and look up the Gulf of Tonkin on Wikipedia, and you will find that Admiral Jim Stockdale, who at the time was, I think, a naval commander, leading the flight off the aircraft carrier Ticonderoga, actually, along with his other planes, went under attack on these North Vietnamese patrol boats that attacked the Maddox and another carrier there in the Gulf of Tonkin. And although neither one of the North Vietnamese torpedo boats was destroyed, why, of course, there was no question the attack took place on the 2nd of August. Now, everybody admits that the attack on the 4th of August was a lie, but there's no question that the attack on the 2nd of August was real. In fact, Robert McNamara, and you can go up on YouTube and hear Robert McNamara talking about the Gulf of Tonkin incident, and he will tell you that even Admiral Thomas Moore had one of the shells that was actually fired from the Maddox that day on the 2nd of August. So what are you to believe? Well, then there are all sorts of other articles up there, reports from the Naval Archives, but these agreed that the attack really took place on the 2nd of August. They admit that the attack on the 4th of August was totally fraudulent, but they always refer to Stockdale, Commander Stockdale, who was actually there that morning flying over the Gulf, and they even quote his book, In Love and War. But, of course, who has ever read the book, In Love and War? Well, we have read the book, and Admiral Stockdale says there was no attack there. It was the 2nd of August, the day was clear, there were no clouds in the sky, and there were no North Vietnamese torpedo boats. It was all certainly a lie. I talked to a gentleman, a friend of mine, Colonel Ron Ray, retired Marine Corps colonel, who actually had interviewed the man who was in charge of sonar on the Maddox that day. And this man, of course, immediately after the encounter, was actually shipped back to some obscure place here in the United States and ordered never to talk about what happened that day. What happened? There were no torpedoes. I mean, if you read Wikipedia, there were 6 torpedoes fired. This man said there were no torpedoes, there were no patrol boats. It was all a lie. And so basically, built upon this lie, which they're still trying to perpetuate, why 58,000 courageous, patriotic Americans died for absolutely nothing. The war was a lie from the very, very beginning. And, of course, if you go to my website, you can read an article I have by Major General Smedley Butler, a Marine Corps general with 2 Congressional Medals of Honor, and he will tell you that war is a racket. He fought in dozens of minor wars and major wars, and he had 2 Congressional Medals of Honor. He was wounded many times, and he finally, when it was all over, he realized, of course, he was never fighting for America. He was never fighting for freedom. He was fighting for Wall Street. He was fighting for American business interests. What he didn't understand was the invisible government that we talk about that controls so many of the major business interests and the banking interests, who have been using the American military to pursue their goal of bringing about an American empire. And when you understand that's what's really going on, then you can understand why we have our military forces stationed in 130 to 140 nations throughout the world today, why we have 700 bases throughout the world, military bases in other nations throughout the world. Who are we protecting ourselves from? We're not protecting ourselves from anybody. We have the most powerful military in the world. We spend more money on our military than all the other nations in the entire world put together, with perhaps the exception of China, which only recently has been spending more in the way of building up their military. But nobody can challenge America's military might any more than people could challenge the military might of Rome in their day. And yet eventually that country was destroyed because, of course, of the moral failings of the country, and because they went bankrupt financially, and because people lost confidence in the country. Just exactly as people are losing confidence in America today. But they shouldn't be losing confidence in America. We have a great country. We have a great constitution. We have a great tradition. We have a great heritage. But we have an invisible government that has taken control of our government, controlled both political parties, controlled literally all of the major banks, controls most of the major corporations, controls the great tax-exempt foundations, controls almost all of the media. There are five major corporations that control the media, and we're talking about the magazines, the newspapers. We're talking, Sydney, about the book publishers. We're talking about the, radio stations and the television stations and the motion picture the studios in Hollywood. And here, of course, they have worked very effectively to destroy the moral fabric of this our society, and to make the vulgar and the crude, they're certainly very, very popular. And we accept things today that no moral nation would ever accept in the way of immorality, and we make it almost normal. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we'd like to talk about what you want to talk about. But, Sydney, as you go into the backgrounds of the wars of the past, you realize that they have all been contrived. I was reading about the story about the nurse's testimony before Congress that got us into the First World War. I knew there was something very wrong with it, because just 5 days after I heard the testimony, I was in the airport in San Francisco, picked up a book on Iraq, and it had the whole story of this nurse's testimony in a book that was published 5 days after the testimony. Well, basically, of course, this woman was describing this tearful sequence about having witnessed the little children being thrown out of their bassinets in Kuwait City and bayoneted by the Iraqi soldiers there, and the terrible atrocities were committed. And it was all a lie. It was carefully staged by a public relations company, which is employed by the government of Iraq. The woman who professed to be a nurse, having witnessed this, was actually the daughter of the ambassador from Kuwait, who was carefully schooled in exactly what she was going to say before Congress. Was she ever held responsible for all the people who died unnecessarily in that unnecessary war? We had no business going over there. In fact, our ambassador, the American ambassador to Kuwait at that time, a woman was named April Gillespie, and Saddam Hussein had gone to her and said, would America mind? He said, we have a difference with Kuwait. They're stealing our oil. They're drilling into our oil fields. They're oblique drilling into our oil fields. Would America mind if we took military action to reclaim the oil and to stop Kuwait from stealing our oil? And April Gillespie said, in essence, America has no concern to your relationship to Kuwait. And that was the go-ahead for Saddam Hussein. He actually recorded that conversation because he didn't trust America, and certainly with good justification. And, of course, we then sent our boys in, and that was the justification for then bombing Iraq for the next 10 years, during which time, why, about 500,000 children died because of the embargo we placed on Iraq. 500,000 children died during the 1990s because of the American embargo. And where is the outcry? Why, there is none. Madeleine Albright, when asked about it, said, well, it was worth it because we had to keep Saddam in his place. But ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't read the book, See No Evil by Robert Baer, you're ready to get it, because Robert Baer will tell you, he will tell you that the Iraqi military over and over again tried to overthrow Saddam Hussein, and every time they were betrayed by the American State Department. The Iraqi military officers were arrested and tortured to death along with their families. This happened not once but on two occasions, to the point where Robert Baer, who was a CIA agent, and I've interviewed him, Robert Baer said he never met an Iraqi who did not believe the American government was keeping Saddam Hussein in power. And ladies and gentlemen, if that is really true, then all those 500,000 little innocent Iraqi children who died, their blood is on the hands of the American people, who are so involved with just the good life. They're unconcerned about the suffering that the policies produced by our invisible government are bringing to the rest of the world. Well, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, and we've got Mike calling from Michigan. Hi, Mike. What part of Michigan are you calling from?
I'm from West Michigan, Ben.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, like, told about World War II, when I guess it was Rudolf Hess had defected to Great Britain and wanted to stop the war. Can you elaborate on that? I don't understand that.
All right, fine. Well, of course, you're not supposed to understand that. The book I would refer you to, it has a number of titles. One of them is Prison in Number 7. Another is The Loneliest Man in the World. And the other is A Prisoner at Spandau. They're all the same book. They were written by a Lieutenant General Eugene Byrd. And Lieutenant General Eugene Byrd was the American commander at Spandau. And you remember that it was controlled by the four major powers, France, Great Britain, the United States, and Russia. And they would each be, an officer would be there for 3 months out of the year. And they would rotate the command. But anyway, Lieutenant General Byrd thought that it would really be very important to actually know why Hess flew to Great Britain. And so he befriended him. He found out that he was going there to meet a group called the Round Table. Now, the Round Table is part of this secret society that we talk about. It was called the Cliveden Set. It was called the Milner Group. It was really part of the secret society. And they'd been encouraging Adolf Hitler at every turn. Now, he doesn't talk about that. He just tells you that this Hess wanted to meet with the Round Table group. But because, of course, the government could not allow that to happen, they arrested Dick Colonel Byrd, they seized his manuscript, they destroyed it, eventually he had to leave the army, but he published the book, and it's called The Loneliest Man in the World, and Rudolf Hess was flying to meet Hitler's friends, the Round Table Group, the front for Cecil Rhodes Secret Society, and we'll be right back. So, Mike, that's what it was really all about. They wanted to avoid the war. They wanted England to join with them in their attack on Great Britain. And simply the Round Table at each turn had...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount gold and silver trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
The world by Colonel Eugene Byrd, Lieutenant Colonel Eugene Byrd. I actually talked to him before he died. He died just recently. But anything else, Mike?
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment on the other side of the war over in Japan. When I was in high school, in fact, I grew up in Dearborn, Michigan, so I was quite close to the Ford Motor Company. And one of our English teachers said that when he went into after we bombed Japan, that he went in and found as they were sailing into the harbor, there was a Ford Motor Company plant that was completely intact. And we being young students, we didn't understand what he was thinking, what he was trying to say, but this Ford Motor Company plant just did not have any damage. And I thought, well, maybe Ford has some contacts. That with the bombers that they weren't going to bomb their plant. But come to find out, Ford Motor Company at the time was really a young company. So it was either Ford Motor Company got into Japan and said, my goodness, we must have gotten the wrong place because all of a sudden a war broke out, or Ford Motor Company was there building up the Japanese war machine. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, I will tell you that in Germany, why the American corporations, the American factories were not bombed, they decimated the German factories. If you go into Cologne, the city I was there, what, about 1953 or 54? And when I was serving in the military, and basically the city was totally decimated. The only thing standing was the cathedral, but all around the periphery of the city, were the American factories, General Motors and the others. And we didn't bomb the American factories in Germany. We didn't bomb the American factories in Japan. But people do not understand that war was as phony as a $3 bill. The Japanese had tried to surrender for 6 months before the war ended, and of course the treaty was signed there on the 19th of August, 1945. But basically, they'd been trying to surrender. We would not let them surrender. The only thing they asked was that Hirohito be not tried as a war criminal. Of course, we had no intention of trying him because he was a member of the Secret Order of the Garter, a special British secret society. And you can look it up on the Internet, the Order of the Garter, Hirohito, Emperor Hirohito. But basically, the invasion of Okinawa and of Iwo Jima, the bombing of both Hiroshima and Nagasaki, totally unnecessary. We bombed them to kill as many people as we could to create the horror. We wanted to create this idea of the horror of war so people would go into a world government. Now, if you question what I'm saying, number one, we have an article out of the Chicago Tribune we'd be glad to send to you if you request it from us on the 19th of August, the very day that they signed the peace treaty on the Missouri. And basically, it is said that the Japanese have been trying to surrender. Secondly, I got to meet General Wedemeyer, who commanded all of the military forces in China, and he told me that they had received the second offer of surrender after the bombing of Hiroshima, and the Japanese said, we'll surrender. And, of course, the Russians had intercepted that communication. That's why they invaded Manchuria 5 days before the war ended. They knew the war was going to end. But, of course, we went right ahead, even though the Japanese had offered to surrender after the bombing of Hiroshima. Then, of course, went ahead and bombed Nagasaki and killed another 100,000 people or more. It's a pretty gruesome story, but you have to understand that we're dealing with wicked people. The man in charge was a 33rd degree Mason, Harry Truman. Always had a good press, but he was a wicked and evil man. And we even have an article written by Arthur Schlesinger talking about how Harry Truman, his whole life, carried the poem Tennyson, for I dipped into the future far as any eye could see, saw a vision of the world, and all the wonders of it would be, heard the heavens filled with shouting and the rain to ghastly dew of the nation's airy navies grappling in the central blue, till the war drums throbbed no longer and the battlefield flags were furled in the parliament of man, the federation of the world. And Harry Truman carried those words in his wallet. He was dedicated to this idea of a one-world government, and that's why he authorized killing all those people, even though the Japanese had been trying to surrender for 6 months, and we wouldn't let them. That's the real story, Mike. It's not a nice story, but it's a true story, and we can document every bit of it.
Well, I thank you, Dr. Stanley. I really appreciate your ministry and getting the word out. Those are my questions and comments. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless. Well, we're going to be back here again. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We've got Susan Freedom. We'll talk to her in a moment. But our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Dr. Stan, let's go to Susan, calling us here from the Freedom Forum. Hi, Susan. Do you have an announcement to make?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Yes, I just want to let your listeners know that we have a meeting coming up next Wednesday, September 15th, 7 p.m. at the Live Oak Grange in Santa Cruz. And we're going to be talking, we're going to have three live speakers on our PG&E Smart Meters Really Smart. And that's unfolding right now in Santa Cruz. Wellington Energy is a contractor hired by PG&E to install these meters, and most people don't want them. Some people actually do, but when they hear that the privacy issues and the rate hikes and the microwave radiation through your house all day every day for the rest of your life. Some people are saying this isn't a really great idea. So we're going to have Carl Merritt. He's an MD and an electrical engineer and a biomedical engineer, and Dennis Norton, Vice Mayor of Capitola, and Joshua Hart speaking.
Well, we've certainly had Joshua on our program. I would like to talk to this doctor who's an electrical engineer. Could you call my either you have our home number, call there and leave that number so we can get in touch with him.
Thank you.
We'd really like to have him on our program as well.
Okay.
You know, because the interesting thing about the meters, basically, as you know, why they've had an independent commission look into them, and they say that the meters work fine.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the meters work just absolutely. They checked 600 of them. They all work fine. I'm sure they do work fine, but that isn't what the issue is about.
Well, they admit that there's 23,000 meters that were inaccurate, and there is a class action suit in Bakersfield right now about that.
Well, but basically the thing is, it's not whether the meters work. It is the fact that the whole idea is to raise the price of electricity. And you use electricity at the time of the midday. Certainly your rates are going to go through the ceiling.
Right.
And the reason for this is that they want to limit our use of electricity. That's what it's all about. How do you limit the use of electricity? Raise the prices. That's why the prices go up. It isn't because the meters don't work. It's because they have an agenda.
Right.
And they're not telling the people. And then, of course, the health issues. Some people, I believe, are very sensitive to these electromagnetic waves. Most people aren't. But for those small number are, it's going to be a living hell. Hey, thanks so very much for calling us in.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and right now we've got Tim calling us from Illinois. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and Tim wants to talk about immigration. Hi, Tim. How are we doing?
Oh, hi, Dr. Stan. They also have an agenda to get the illegal in here. Example, this summer with Governor Brown from Arizona, I knew it was a scam. This was all set up as a precedent.
Oh, no, it isn't Governor Brown from Arizona. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay, well, anyway, I think it was all set up as a precedent for the rest of the 48 states. Look, if you bring up any static on these illegals and start checking them out thoroughly, we're going to slam you down, bring in the federal. It was all an inside job, because the issue is dead now, and it more or less has other states cowering in the corner to even bring up the illegal issue.
Well, now, why do you think that they want to bring in the illegal immigrants? There's no question that they want them here. The government refuses to build a fence, even though it's been authorized by Congress, and we were promised it would be built in 2006. Certainly, they refuse, of course, to actually put adequate guards on the border. They refuse now to even to actually deport many of the illegal immigration. They have sort of it's sort of like when you're doing a catch-and-release program with Trump. You know, they catch them and they release them. That's what they're doing with the illegal immigrants. They're encouraging them to come in, and a lot of them even have Medicare accounts, and even though they're using faulty or fraudulent Social Security numbers, they set up the accounts for them so that we can give them their retirement accounts when they return to Mexico. But why are they doing this? Can you explain that to me?
Oh, boy. Possibly to displace our sovereignty, to lose our sovereignty. It's with the globalism and the...
Well, I think that's part of it, Tim, but the real reason is they want to lower the living standards here in America. This is all part of the Earth Charter program of equitable distribution of wealth between nations. So we're transferring our wealth to people come in here illegally, and then they send it back to their relatives in Mexico. And, of course, the same reason that we're actually sending our jobs and our factories and our wealth overseas. We're bringing in people, outsourcing our jobs. We're actually bringing in people with H-1B visas who will work for less. That's only supposedly if there's nobody here who can do the job, but they don't enforce our laws, because the real goal is to lower the living standards. And when you understand that, all of this makes sense. Otherwise, none of it makes sense. But
and then,
President Obama talks about wanting to get jobs here. He is frankly lying. He knows what the agenda is. They don't want the jobs here in the United States. We are intentionally sending them overseas. If they wanted jobs here in the United States, they'd impose, you know, export controls. They'd go ahead and put on tariffs. There's no way that a worker in the United States making $20 an hour can possibly work with compete with somebody in China making $3 or $4 a day.
Exactly. I had one other quick statement, Dr.
Okay,
Sam.
Fine. Again, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go ahead.
Well, I learned that the Sears Tower, it's now it's called the Willis Tower, was purchased in March of 2009 by a global insurance broker, Willis Group Holdings, out of London.
All right, fine.
And the gentleman, Henry Willis, started his business in 1828. I wonder if he's a Mason or a Knight of the Golden Circle.
I really have no idea.
I'll find out more information, sir. Thank you.
All right, fine. Well, you
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Are you concerned about the fact that they are refusing to enforce our immigration laws? I mean, after all, we elect people, we send them back to Washington, D.C., in Congress and the Senate, and they're supposed to vote on laws. They do vote on laws. But you see, we have an invisible government. And that, of course, is the people within the CFR, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, and their ancillary organizations. And they are above the law. They don't obey the laws of our nation, and basically they refuse to enforce the laws passed by our Congress. And as a result, of course, why we certainly have a situation where out of control illegal immigration, the American people don't want a lot of the immigration laws, but they are being imposed upon us. The American people don't want certainly a lot of the environmental laws, but they're being imposed upon us. Because the invisible government has a different agenda. They're using the environmental laws to centralize all power in the central government, in the federal government, so that they can control your property, so that they can restrict your activity, so that they'll be able to get you out of your cars and make it so expensive you're not going to be able to buy the gasoline or the electricity to run your car. If you're getting an electric car now because you think it's going to be cheaper, wait till they quadruple the cost of electricity. They know exactly what they're doing. People think, well, I'll figure a way around this. No, ladies and gentlemen, these people are six steps ahead of you. The ultimate goal is the destruction of freedom as we know it, not only in the United States but throughout the world. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think we have Herman calling us. Hi, Herman. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. Yesterday there was a mainline story about Mott's applesauce. There's a strike in New York State. The company is profitable. They made over $500 million a year. They also own Snapple and one of the major beverages. But the people on strike were making about $21 an hour, and the company representative said because of the recession and the unemployment in the area, they can hire workers for $9 an hour, and that's the going rate, so they have filled all their positions. And then they spoke to the a president or vice president of the company who last year made $6.5 million, and he was smiling and joking as he was talking about all this. And it was just an amazing interview. This was on one of the good Morning America talk shows. But the other thing is, in all this talk about the unemployment, there is not one sentence that I have heard on any of the controlled mainline media. And I ask any listener who's tomorrow or tonight, call in, have you heard anyone talk about the fact of the jobs going overseas? They're talking about, well, we need new jobs, we're going to create jobs, but not one word is uttered about the fact of all these millions of jobs that have gone overseas, that these factories are gone, that they're gone forever, and they're not coming back. And I find that an absolutely amazing thing. Where are all you people?
Well, I think it's so important to realize that we have sent 8 million jobs overseas that are not coming back. We've intentionally encouraged our industries to move overseas by giving them special corporate tax breaks. In other words, if you're an American corporation and you move your factory overseas, you don't have to pay any American taxes. If they have taxes in the country where you are, you'll have to pay those. They're usually very, very low. And, of course, there's all sorts of means by which American corporations working in other countries can bribe officials and not have to pay much in any way of taxes. So we reward American corporations for going overseas. The average American can't conceive of that. It must be just happening, you know. No, this is part of an organized program. First of all, you take down the tariff. So that means if you produce your products overseas, you can bring them in here without having to pay a tariff. And there's tremendous profits. This is why so many of our major corporations have very large profits at the present time. And they're keeping the money overseas, or George Bush allowed them to bring the money back instead of paying, I think it's 35% corporate tax. They were allowed to pay 5% with the idea they'd bring the money back here, and then they would invest it and get open new factories. Well, what did they do? They brought the money back here, and they started buying up their own stock to increase the value of the stock so that they, the owners of the company, would make more money, but in no way, of course, helped to stimulate the economy. And what people must understand, Herman, is the real program is not to get our economy working. They may talk about this, but certainly we're giving a great deal of money to the banks. Banks can borrow the money at 0% interest. And the big banks can do that. You and I can't do that. The small banks can't do it. But the big banks can. What are they doing? Why, they're investing in hedge funds. They're investing in the stock market. They're borrowing money at 0% interest and buying T-bonds that'll pay 3%. That's pretty good. 3% on money that you get for nothing. People don't understand that the big banks are in on this, as are the major corporations. The whole idea is to bring our economy down. They're doing it intentionally. There is an invisible government that hates the United States and believes that out of the coming period of chaos and crisis, and it is coming, there's only a matter of time, in the coming period of chaos and crisis, the American people will be willing to give up their sovereignty and to join this one world government. That's the major driving force behind everything today. And when you understand that, it all makes sense. Otherwise, Herman, none of this makes sense. Let me just put out our telephone number one more time. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you disagree with anything we've said, why, give us a call. Go ahead, Herman.
The other thing is, in the news, they're talking about raising the retirement age for the average American to collect Social Security. Some are suggesting up to 70 years of age. And you couple that with the deteriorating health they're pushing this year. They've combined the H1N1 with the flu vaccine. The pediatrician group just came out today in the news saying they want to make it mandatory for women who are carrying babies, that they get these shots. And I'll tell you, folks, you're going to get sick very likely from something, and it's just another way to get rid of people.
Well, I think that people have to realize, of course, that here the retirement age is 65. It's going to go up to 67. In France, the retirement age has been 60. And they want to raise it to 62. And basically, the people are out demonstrating the streets. The unions are demonstrating. They're threatening to close down the economy for daring to actually raise the retirement age from 60 to 62 in France. Now, you have to understand that all of these wonderful government retirement funds are fraudulent. And suddenly Sarkozy, the premier of France, the president, knows that if you're going to keep the system from totally collapsing, you've got to raise the retirement age. Here in the United States, we've got even a worse problem. Today, the Ponzi scheme, which is Social Security, is putting out more money than it's taking in. And they say, well, of course, things will get better in a year or two when the economy improves. Ladies and gentlemen, the economy is not going to improve. This is all a mirage. They're going to do everything they can to topple our economy, to topple the value of our currency, to impoverish the American people. But certainly if you wanted to do anything, you're going to have to raise the retirement age, as you say. They're talking at 67. I believe that's already the law. A few years from now, it'll go to 67. They're going to have to go to 70. There is no way that we can possibly afford to be putting out all of the money we're putting out. And the only way around the problem we have, the massive debt that can never be paid off, certainly all the promises we've made to the people in the way of Social Security and Medicare and certainly the Medicare drug programs, the only way we can possibly pay the people what we promise is simply to inflate our currency, to destroy the value of our money, and then, of course, we can pay the people on the full thing that they've got, but the money won't buy anything. And this, of course, I fear is where we're headed today. Once again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, if you're out there across America and you have any question at all about what we're saying. But America is in real trouble because we have an invisible government, and they have an agenda. And they really do want, at this point in history, to undermine the fabric of not only the United States, but all the other nations in the world, and to plunge the world into chaos. And out of that chaos will come the new world order. Go ahead, Herman. Oh, who do we have? We've got John calling from Spokane. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hey, Dr. Stan. I was listening to Herman and what he had to say and your other callers. With what's happening with that, community center / mosque in New York, and then also this guy who wants to burn the Koran and what have you. And I think it was on Alex Jones where he talked about that in their investigations that the imam, I think is the guy in New York City, they traced him to the FBI. And this is all agent provocateur stuff. And you're probably familiar with the third-party law, where behind any conflict there's always a hidden third party. And, you know, this whole thing of working everybody up, you can just see it unfolding and where it's going. And if we get a Republican kind of hawkish type of, the next regime swings the pendulum to the other end, I can only imagine what's going to happen up the road.
Well, I think you have to realize, John, that this whole thing is a put-on. They want to get the Americans hating the Muslims. They want to get the Muslims hating the Americans. Could you imagine, Eddie, how we would feel if some imam over there in Saudi Arabia said, I'm going to start burning Bibles today. I'm going to buy 100 Bibles and burn them. We'd be furious.
The whole thing is crazy.
Well, but you have to, and I think that Alex is exactly right. This whole thing with this mosque is, as you pointed out, this fellow, Iman Faisal, I think is his name. I mean, basically, he's been working with the FBI for years. This whole thing is contrived. It's almost like somebody laid out the whole scenario. How are we going to get the people choosing up sides? You're either in favor of the mosque, you're against the mosque, you either love the Muslims, you hate the Muslims, and suddenly this minister, whatever his motivation is, the fact that they're giving him all this publicity, I mean, the thing is, don't give him any publicity, totally ignore him, but they're not going to do that. They're going to play it up to get the Muslims very defensive and get the Christians, and my fear, and I mentioned this at dinner tonight, what would happen if somebody burned down that minister's church or killed the minister because of what he's done? And it certainly could happen. And if it didn't happen, they could actually hire an assassin to do it. You would inflame the tensions, and this is what it's all about. They want to put us to war with the Muslim world. That is why we've supplied Pakistan with the nuclear weapons. And anybody who has ever looked at Pakistan, how would a third-rate nation like Pakistan possibly get nuclear weapons? Why, we provided them. Go to my newsletter, RadioLiberty.com, January 2008, I think it is. Anyway, it's a Sybil Edmonds story. Read it. The story is known throughout the entire world about how the American State Department gave the Pakistanis the information to build their nuclear weapons, allowed it to be transferred to them, knowing full well there was this spy ring that was doing it and refusing absolutely to intervene. Why? Well, we want them to have nuclear weapons, and we'll have nuclear weapons, and boy, there'll be a great time in the old town tonight, I fear. I think we're dealing with wicked people. I really do, John.
Yeah, I agree.
Anything else you'd like to say?
Do you think this whole flood thing in Pakistan was a harp?
I don't know. I mean, we can always conjecture, but it's all conjecture. We don't know because it's all secret. We can't let the American people know what the government's doing, what the invisible government's doing. Hang on, we'll be back in just a moment.
It sure has the signature on it, though,
doesn't it? Well, I guess we just lost, but we've got Tom calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Pretty good. You know, it dates back from, I think, the Germans finally got fed up.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthy I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
To keep this fear going. And that's what I picked up during the Vietnam War when I was in high school. I go, this is phony fear over the television.
We're all being manipulated. Our minds are molded. Our taste forms are ideas suggested by the people who control the media. There are 5 major corporations, and the 6th one, that's the people who just bought GE, but they're second rate to the big 5. Hey, we're out of time, Tom. Give us a call next week. God bless, and thanks so much. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and we've got 60 hungry stations across the country every week where at least we have some broadcasts, and if you're in a position to help us, we'd sure appreciate hearing from you. Now, some of those are shortwave, some of them are internet connections, but we do have over 60 outlets every single week where people are hearing at least some of the truth. Well, let me point out that on the 17th of October, we're having an all-day conference. We're going to bring in Dr. David Ayoub, who's spoken before on vaccines, but he's got a great new talk. You'll certainly want to hear this. And certainly His previous talk on mercury autism and the global vaccine agenda pointed out that the reason we have this worldwide vaccine program is because the mercury in the vaccines will lead to infertility of those little black and brown children. But aren't there already too many of them? At least that's the attitude of the elite who are financing the global vaccine program and giving the childhood vaccines that contain mercury when we took it out of the vaccines here in the United States because we thought it might be producing damage, but we're going to go ahead and damage those little black and brown children. But they're not telling you it's all about fertility or population control. Then, of course, Sarah Mack is going to be here. Paul Williams, the world's leading expert on Islamic terrorist organizations in the United States, will be here. Michael Shaw will be talking on ICLEI. I'll be talking about the dark secret. The dark secret. And so we do hope you'll be able to come. You're going to need reservations. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's all day long on the 17th of October. And it's a Sunday. And we're going to have people from all over the world coming. Hope you can come. But give us a call, 1-888-1-800-544-8927. Then let me suggest you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You really need to have this information because, of course, as we point out there, an understanding of the forces that shaped the events of the 20th century is predicated not upon facts to be learned, but rather upon secrets to be discovered. And that book, Sidney, I wrote it a decade ago, but it's as true today, The Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the book, the DVD, the tape. You need to get the information. And now, of course, we're going to give you the second stage, and that's the talk I'll be giving on the dark secret. I'll also be giving the talk on the 18th of this month. It's 18th of September up in Santa Rosa. If you're in that area, you'd like to come, give us a call. We'll put you in touch with Arlene Kula. And then, of course, we hope that you want to get the DVDs we have on the Surveillance Society, Alex Jones' DVDs on the Invisible Empire, Police State 4, and certainly on the Loose Chains, The Final Cut. That's the story of what happened on September 11th. Then, of course, go to our website, radioliberty.com. Look at the books that we have. Certainly, if you need to get food supplies, if you need to get your Berkey water filters, if you need to get health products, have them on hand. We don't know what the future holds. Apparently, they put the attack on Iran on hold temporarily, perhaps until after the election. But after that, who knows what's going to happen? We're living in very uncertain times. The economy's on the brink of another collapse. They say, oh, well, there's not going to be a double-dip recession. Ladies and gentlemen, there is going to be a double-dip recession because they want a double-dip recession because the major banks are all part and tied into the Trilateral Commission, and they are not lending. They're keeping the money. They're making great funds. We're certainly giving the money to the banks, but not to the American people. And the whole idea is to destroy our economy. When you understand that, it all makes sense. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Bob Fletcher, who's been involved in this for 20 or 30 years. I don't know, going back, I guess, to the early 80s, almost 30 years. And he's done a lot of wonderful research. He's put together a lot of excellent DVDs, which we carry. But tonight, we were going to be talking on a little different subject. There are certainly massive underground developments here, tunnels, certainly bunkers that they've built. There is a gentleman, he was a PhD, and he wrote two books about the underground tunnels here in the United States. Last thing anybody heard of him, he was washing windows down somewhere in Texas. I mean, in other words, he could not get a job any place at all. And he certainly had been, had to silence him. The last thing they want is for the American people to realize that they're building bunkers and secure areas for the elite, but not for the common people. And why are they bothering to do that? What do they know that the future holds that they're not telling the American people? So with that as the background, Bob, it's good to have you with us again.
My pleasure, Stan.
Go right ahead. You pick up the story.
Well, as we know, or as I guess everybody should know at this point in time, you know, we have all of the unknown predictions of 2012. Approaching, and that is, of course, all of the idea that there may be some type of an astrological situation with the alignment of the planets that may cause a problem. We do know that there genuinely is a problem with the what they call flares, the sun or solar flares that will be flaring up. They're actually this is a cycle that actually is a proven fact, and that in 2011, 2012, we're going to have those problems. And so we have looming for the first time in the history of man, we have these a multitude of possible devastating situations that, and of course, a lot of people talking about maybe coming to the end of the world in the year 2000. Well, we have all of the, but I kind of fall in a little bit in the mystical side of predictions. We have Nostradamus and all of, and even Oriental mystics that go back 5,000 years, all predicting within the same time frame of 2012. And then along with that, we, of course, have the unknown factor where we are apparently ratcheting up getting closer to the possibility of direct conflicts either with North Korea or with Iran again, and with the Iranians having nuclear weapons, North Korea having nuclear weapons, that they could potentially cause problems. And we seemingly politically we're poking a stick at a wild animal here with these possibilities of random nations that have nuclear weapons. So all of that's kind of heading at the same time frame. And, of course, everybody's also pointing out the other scientific potentials of an increase in earthquakes, which appears certainly to be the case. We had another big one just a few days ago, was over 7.3 earthquake in an area that they never even knew there was a fault. So, and now, how this relates to corruption in government, of course.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Bob Fletcher. Bob, go right ahead.
As the we talk about what I've chased for so long, which is corruption in government and the secrecy of government. You know, of course, we all theoretically think of the United States as being the most open with all the information available to us and the most open government on earth. But unfortunately, I personally discovered many years ago that that was not the case, and then opened the door and I started investigating all of this multitude of what I call the secret government or secrecy in government, and how these the upcoming potential problems that are surfacing as we move towards the 2012 date, whether anything happens or not, I'm not positive. No one knows, of course. But while that's moving forward, the government, Uncle Sam, has been spending huge amounts of money for at least the last 15 to 20 years in creating underground facilities for the very upper elite, the very upper echelon groups of the United States government. And they had a program that's called Continuity of Government, COG, COG. And this Continuity of Government program was actually initiated, believe it or not, way back by Eisenhower during his presidency. And, of course, at that time, it was the genuine nuclear concern and the threat of nuclear war. And it was picked up by many years later and expanded tremendously by Ronald Reagan and George Bush during Reagan's presidency. And when they were doing the Iran-Contra business and all of that, illegal arms and drug operations related to illegal arms, that was what I was involved in, and that was in 1985, 87, and that period of time, and that's how I became investigating. What this continuity of government program is, it is a multitude of manner by which the upper echelon can be hidden away underground in one of, I believe now we have as many as 90 underground facilities. These are literally self-supporting, like cities under the ground. And they're in several places. They're above top secret in their secrecy.
Certainly, Bob is talking about the fact that the government is building underground facilities, vast underground facilities for the elite as part of the continuity of government effort. And basically, in case there is a cataclysmic event, they would want, of course, the high government officials to survive. They don't care about the common people. They've disbanded our civil defense programs. Disbanded all of these food supplies and medical supplies and other things they had 40 or 50 years ago for the public. But believe me, these underground bunkers for the elite are very well stocked. They have one up around Santa Rosa here in California, not too far from where I am. We know that certainly them are back east, but it's in the adjacent to Washington, D.C., but I'm sure Bob probably has an idea where a lot of them are across the country for the elite, but not for the common people. Go right ahead.
Right, and the amazingly enough, what they've done now with this, and I'm pretty positive there's about 90 of them under our wing in the United States, or parts of considered to be the United States. They're also large facilities, at least one or two very big ones in Australia, which is coordinated with the leadership over there and the leadership here. A part of it also that falls into this is the which is not terribly top secret, but is the huge, what they call a vault or a safe that is in Greenland or Iceland, and that's the safe facility underground that handles, has stored samples of seeds and all types of vegetation and growth and probably also what we might call test tube samples of all living creatures so that they potentially could be, for example, the literally sperm and eggs of a whole multitude of living animals and probably people that are actually being hidden away in an underground huge freezer type situation. was environmentally controlled so that if there was a total destruction like the meteors that had struck the Earth millions of years ago that caused the Ice Age and wiped out the dinosaurs, if we had something like that take place, that samples of all living creatures, including just vegetation and, of course, living animals, would be available and still refrigerated and protected and could be potentially regenerated on Earth. Then to get back to the more simplistic things we're talking about, which are the hideouts under the continuity of government program, the hideouts for the elite or a handful of people that they plan to salvage should this a holocaustic kind of a event take place.
Well, does this sort of go along with this doomsday seed bank they have up above the Arctic Circle, so they'll have good seeds, they can start growing crops if they have to start in all over again?
Right. That's exactly is what I'm talking about relative to what would be the equivalent of Noah's Ark all over again, and as opposed to having creatures, two of every species, etc. They will have sperm samples and eggs of all of the known living creatures, as well as, of course, seeds by the millions of all types of plants and variations of different vegetation. And the intent would be to take that out, tap into that underground vault, and bring it out if there are people that survive a holocaustic kind of a destruction of Earth. And on the government side of it, all of these multitude of underground facilities, when it appeared that there would be something like this, like either nuclear and or a astrological destruction of mankind or potentially that bad, they're going to instantly, they have aircraft and helicopters and transportation constantly around the clock, 24 hours a day, available to pick up this limited group of people who are designated to go and be hidden away in these facilities. Now, I'm pretty positive that one of the facilities, and as a matter of fact, it was covered by Jesse Ventura in the program that he had, one of his programs, where he covered, showed a little bit of the Denver airport. And I had, many years ago, investigated the rumors that that airport was one of these special facilities. And I was able to go in with a hidden camera, and we were able to get in and go underground, where we did, in fact, film many miles of underground tunnels that people are not aware of that are underneath the Denver airport. They have had not completed it quite at that time. Let me back up. I guess it had been just about finished at that time, but in terms of the airport. But the airport still is being worked on to this day. Now, this goes back to 1994, 95, something like that, when I first was able to get in and videotape some of that footage underneath the...
Well, now, are these basically bunkers? Are these just tunnels and the tunnels? Well, where do the tunnels go to?
Well, it's so complex. It's so large. And I guess that was my point, that they literally today are still working. They have continued working on it. They had finished an entire landing strip or two that's separate from the one they're using. And they had completed it and covered it over with about 6 to 12 inches of dirt for some reason. And this is a huge, long landing strip. I don't know what the intent is, why they ended up covering it, but they covered up another, what I would call a secondary landing strip that would, I guess, permit a tremendous number of large craft coming in and out when that time should come, that actually would be far beyond what's the regular strips that they use now, the landing strip used now. They have strange, very unusual things there. One is the luggage transport system, what they claim it to be a luggage transport system, is geometrically designed in a manner such that it could handle people and transport people from the top surface down to the underground part of the facility. There are tunnels that go off way farther than what we were able to even videotape, but they go off in several directions, and there are, of course, the claim is, and Jesse Ventura did cover some of that in his television program, that these are connected and go out into other large underground warehousing areas for both people and manufactured goods to be stored, which is what we're talking about, just large underground areas. The adjacent areas within several miles of the original airport are still being worked on today, and you can see derricks and bulldozers and digging equipment, and they're bringing in huge prefabricated cubicles, and they apparently are burying these and putting them down and fastening them together in underground facilities all around the Denver airport. Now, this, of course, is just one facility. We have the Area 51, which, of course, people haven't even been in for 45 years, so you have no idea what goes on there and how big of a underground operation is going on and is finished there. They have spent, there's a place called, I can't think of it, you may know it, in Maryland area there, it's called the something mountain, not Iron Mountain, but some other mountain. That's in the Maryland, Virginia area. And that's a huge known underground facility. We had, back in the 90s, we had some truck drivers contacted us and had told us, we had talked about the same thing, and they had said that they had made deliveries to a couple places that, for the most part, were like in the middle of nowhere. One fella talked about making deliveries on a fairly regular basis to underground facilities in what he would call the desert. And the instructions to make these deliveries were given to him, you know, very covertly. He was not given any advance notice. He was given means by which to locate where he was going. This was long before everybody else had the locating devices in their vehicles and all. They were satellite coordinates. He would be given coordinates to go to. Then he would be met by two or three of the black Jeeps or the black military Humvees, similar to that Area 51 patrol cars that they have. And they would lead him down, totally vacant desert-type roads. They would go left for 2 miles and straight for 10 miles and left again for 3 or 4 miles. And then literally they claimed that there would be an opening in the side of a mountain or an opening in the ground itself, and he would be guided down in there with these full-size 18-wheelers down inside these underground facilities. And they never knew what they were carrying in terms of their actual the load that they had on the 18-wheeler. And, of course, we were skeptical when we first got this information, and we asked if anybody could ever supply us with pictures. And to our surprise, we did get some pictures taken that actually showed 18-wheelers at intersections with one stopping to permit another one to cross, and this is all underground in some unknown place in the desert.
Well, Sidney, I've heard these same stories from what I think are fairly reliable sources, that there's some of them in New Mexico, and really they're all over. But, of course, the American people should not know because it's top secret. Well, go right ahead, Bob.
Well, and
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
.464-8295, but certainly, Bob, certainly there's always a mystical element to so many of the things going on. Bob was talking about the bizarre murals that are painted at the Denver airport. Certainly the dedication stones talking something about the New World Order. Certainly this whole idea that a terrible cataclysmic event is about to occur, and that's the story of the murals. You look at them and see the little children in coffins. It's almost as the foretelling the terrible events that lie ahead. But go right ahead.
Right, and the and again, the relationship to as the speed picks up, so to speak, as we head towards the 2012 and the predicted holocaustic potential end of times comes closer, it seems that they're moving at a rather a continued rapid expanding, speeded up situation in finishing the, whatever of these secret constructions are around the Denver airport, and then, of course, like I say, in several of these other places. And the and when I mentioned earlier that my initial involvement was around the 1987 Iran-Contra investigations, and I was dealing myself and my lawyer at that time, I was actually an interviewed witness in the Iran-Contra mess. And those of you that don't or do remember that, that was involved the illegal arms being shipped down to the Contras fighting the Sandinistas in Nicaragua, and then there was the business about the drugs coming back, and Israel was involved, and Representative Jack Brooks out of Texas was a fellow that presented on the floor of the investigation, presented my company's name and the involvement with the military, utilizing my company as a covert front under which they were shipping some of these missiles and weapons secretly. And the again, that at that time, Brooks, Jack Brooks, also was the fellow that brought out on the floor during the investigations of the National Security Council in 1987. He questioned Colonel Oliver North about his participation in the secret continuity of government, the secret programs that we're talking about right now, and all of the arrangements that, in fact, had things that were going on, the construction and all. And originally it had a title called Rex 84, and that was in reference to Ready Emergency Exercise 1984, when they had ratcheted up and expanded under that title, that as a secret operation, a covert operation. They had moved forward and expanded these, did two things. One was when they presented secretly the concept of discontinuing the Constitution of the United States or suspending it at the will of the president if they decided that they wanted or had to do that. And then the continuity of government program would take place. And, of course, under a catastrophic national emergency, they would, under, again, this is strictly at the whim of the president, under that catastrophic national emergency, they would suspend the Constitution, and certain select people will be placed in, down under, into these secret facilities, and this prearranged group of people would be the ones that would run the United States of America from that point forward under the protection of the national emergency declared by the president.
Well, I would simply point out that anybody would like to see that sequence. We actually have that where Senator Jack Brooks is, wants to try to question Colonel Oliver North. It's called The Amazing Clips. If you haven't seen it, why, of course, it's available from Radio Liberty. Well worthwhile getting. It's in our concentration camp special. But basically, Congressman Jack Brooks tries to raise the question. I mean, we've heard or we've read in the paper that, Colonel North, that you were actually working on this program, this continuity of government program, so that in case of a national emergency, they could suspend the Constitution and round up American citizens. Mr. North, and immediately Senator Inouye interrupts and says, well, we will not talk about that at the present time. And Jack Brooks persists, and he says, well, now, Colonel North, I think this is really very important to you. Were you working on this program? Wherever they would suspend the Constitution, immediately Inouye breaks in and says, we will not talk about that. We will not, we'll talk about that in private, you know, in closed session. We can't talk about it here. And then, of course, the next segment is Congressman Hedwig Gonzalez, who's the head of the House Banking Committee, saying, you know, the only person who really got close to the truth in the Iran-Contra hearings was Congressman Jack Brooks. because there really is a plan, in case of a national emergency, to suspend the Constitution and round up the American people. Go right ahead.
And that's all correct. And I my hat's off to, I ended up doing, supplying evidence and documentation to both Jack Brooks and to Congressman Gonzalez for the following few years afterwards, pushing for other investigations. As a matter of fact, I had supplied, the first person that first supplied documentation that had been retrieved directly out of Oliver North's personal vault and safe. And the people with whom, investigators with whom I was working with, literally in approximately 86, 1986, in that period of time, had actually retrieved the documents that that are so devastatingly, so flagrantly, smoking gun on major criminal activities. We're talking about drug operations that were completely written down in black and white, and handwritten notes by Oliver North talking about supplying aircraft for a drug operation, and writing the names down of the people that were involved. In his own personal, this was a notebook that was one of these little 3x5s that fits in your coat pocket, that were handwritten notes of Oliver North. And I was one of the first people, our investigators with the Christic Institute, that I had become involved with at that time, and a few other people that had been in the CIA. We actually retrieved those papers, and I have many of those in one or two of my documentations and my DVDs that we have, The Secrecy of Government. I can remember the shock I brought in to two or three of the congressmen that were handling the investigation at that time. As a matter of fact, Mr. Dante Fisel from Miami was also heavily involved. And I remember I hand-delivered about 1 inch of documentation that was directly out of Oliver North's safe, that were not redacted at all. Not a single word.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Bob actually was working with other groups at the time, the Christic Institute among them, and basically, of course, they got a lot of the documents out of Oliver North's safe, and all of these things show that the Oliver North, working with this secret group, planning to suspend the Constitution and certainly arrest American citizens, and then, of course, this special group would take over control of our government, in case only in a national emergency. Well, you could never trust these people, and certainly you couldn't trust Oliver North. He always got a good press, but understand, Oliver North was part of this program. He has sold his soul to the dark side, as far as I'm concerned. Going along with the invisible government, he's done very well. He was well rewarded financially for his betrayal of the American people, and going along with their program to establish one day a dictatorship in America. He worked at that. That was his job when he was working at the White House, was to lay out the plans. Bob, before we go on, I want you to go ahead and get out your telephone number, tell people how to get in touch with their ministry. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Bob, there's nobody who's better informed about the things we're talking about than Bob Fletcher. So, Bob, how can people get hold of you?
Well, the best way is to simply go on computer and go to our website, which is BobFletcherInvestigations.com, and you can find all of our investigations, the DVDs that I had completed, a couple of them done directly for congressmen, and reports on some of the most amazing, secretive, terrible stuff that's been going on behind the Americans' backs for so long. You can even go on, if you just go on Bob Fletcher Conspiracies or Bob Fletcher Investigations, those will all show you how to get directly to our website. Fortunately or unfortunately, I'm all over the web pages there, so you'll find us. And we'll be glad to send you some of the reports we've done on secrecy of government. And, of course, Congressman Sonny Bono's death being an execution to stop another investigation that we and I was directly involved with.
Basically, of course, Bob was working with Sonny Bono there. Sonny was, as soon as he got back from the skiing trip, he was going to open an investigation. What was it, the CIA and drugs?
Yeah, well, basically, it was, yes, it would have been the really an expanded, serious inquiry into a multitude of government officials, including CIA agents, but many others, including a fellow named Richard Armitage, who at that time was the Assistant Secretary of State and for George Bush. And anyhow, that was the investigation, and the big deal was, for the first time, they had notified me that Sonny had approval to utilize subpoenas, and he was going to be able to subpoena people if they failed to talk and spill the beans, so to speak, to the American people. He was going to be able to put them behind bars for failing to respond to the subpoenas.
And I would just point out that I had a friend of mine who met Oliver North at a meeting. I was there, and my friend mentioned something about the drug smuggling. And of course, Oliver North immediately replied, why, Chris, you, certainly Richard Armitage wasn't involved. Why, Richard Armitage was my closest friend when we were at the Naval Academy together. So I think that tells us a lot about Oliver North. We know that Richard Armitage was one of the major figures in international drug smuggling, but go right ahead.
Yeah, and of course, those people, and including the people, General Singerov, General Heine Aderholt, General Richard Secord, these are the people that were all involved, of course, in the Iran-Contra mess that we're talking about. But prior to that, where they got their feet wet, and Richard Armitage, how they got their feet wet on it was back with Air America, back with the old original Vietnam War, where they were shipping so much drugs. And all of our soldiers over there were involved with narcotics. Half of them, or whatever the number was, huge amount of them were actually hooked on narcotics over there. But they were flying and smuggling that all back on Air America, as well as stolen gold that was coming out of the that area, et cetera. And we actually had, in my investigation that I had completed for Sonny, that had upset him so much just before he was killed, was, of course, it's a multitude of live video interviews with drug smugglers themselves naming the people with whom they were dealing with in the government at these extremely high levels. And, of course, so, you know, and it's sad to end up having to say I'm almost 70 years old, and when I look back at the idea of my country that I served and joined the service and went in and served my time in the military. And when I look back and realize that they have been lying and stealing and cheating and conning the people and pulling these million, multi-million, and of course now it's billion-dollar scams with and keeping the wars going, smuggling drugs under the guise of top secret operations, and then, of course, continuing the wars where they are actually supplying the weapons and making the money with Halliburton and all of these companies that have these outrageous contracts, open-ended contracts, with hundreds of millions of dollars and billions of dollars, and these guys are all in bed together with this. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, here we are always raised as children were raised, God bless America and the country that stand behind it, and we have this terrible cancer up there at the highest levels of our government, stealing and raping and plundering our entire nation, and which is what now has put us into the financial status that we're in, and that's total destruction.
I think people realize we have to refund both sides in every war. Certainly during the Vietnam War, we funded the Russians, who funded the North Vietnamese, who funded the Viet Cong, or were killing our boys today. While we're funding Pakistan, they're funding their ISI military intelligence, is funding the Taliban and the Al-Qaeda. Right today, we're actually funding Israel, but we're also funding Egypt, which, of course, when the next war comes, will go to war with Israel. We're funding, we're actually training $150 million to train the PLO military, arming them, giving them training. We're arming the Lebanon today. Lebanon, the Lebanese army, certainly is working hand in glove with Hezbollah, which, of course, when the war comes, why the Lebanese army will be in opposition to Israel. We're funding both sides. Why can't people see this? It should be so obvious. I just got an email today from one of our friends from Israel, and she keeps us abreast of what's going on over there. And she was just pointing that we're giving a couple of $100 million to train and arm the Lebanese army. And, of course, when the war comes, when Israel attacks Lebanon to try to get the Hezbollah, why, of course, it'll be American arms on both sides that are killing both the Israelis and the Lebanese. Go right ahead.
So we, in that same vein, along with this multitude of paperwork that we were able to generate back and get our hands on, the big deal with this now was that none of it was blacked out or redacted when we got a hold of it. We got a hold of it fresh out of the safe, fresh off of the computer system, and directly out of Oliver North's personal notebooks. And all of these documents had no marked that they weren't blacked out at all. And when when I took them in and delivered them by hand to a couple of congressional offices, I thought they were going to go nuts. They looked at that and they said, where in the world did you get this stuff? And on the left hand, they had sitting trying to do a congressional inquiry, one of the biggest investigations that Congress had ever done, looking at papers that were 95% blacked out, and I had all of those same papers without a single mark on them. And so, I mean, it was just like being right there in the office when they were written. And the original fellow that was the chief legal counsel for the House Foreign Affairs Committee, I thought he was going to fall off of his chair. But I was a guy, little fellow out here, a little private investigator, coming up, formerly a toy manufacturer, coming up from Florida at that time, up to Washington, D.C., and hand-carried this documentation. It was enough to put the President of the United States in jail. And that's how strong this material was. And I thought these guys were going to go crazy. And there literally was something like three investigations that my paperwork was utilized in. And some of it, for example, was that old October surprise, business about 1980, the secrecy deals cut with Iran when Ronald Reagan and George Bush were running against Jimmy Carter, and we had the hostages over in Iran. And there was a big question, a big bunch of hullabaloo about the fact that apparently secret agents Bill Casey, the former CIA head, and George Bush, some of his contacts, had cut these secret deals with the Iranian government to actually keep our hostages over there so that it would mess up the chances of Jimmy Carter winning a re-election, and it would put Reagan and Bush Sr. into the presidency. And I had delivered 75 pages of documents that had been hand-delivered to me by an agent from within the White House. And I delivered that to the White House, to the Congress. And again, it was one of those things where they couldn't believe it. They were overwhelmed. And they ended up in 1989, they had an inquiry once again into that 1980 October surprise. They utilized my documents, and sure enough, they did the same as they did with the Iran-Contra thing. They completely covered it up. They never printed. They printed in their final report 75 blank pages that represented the documents that I had given to them, and they were totally blank, and it said these were top secret, not to be printed. And those pages, had the general public seen it, or a good person out of the press, I don't know where that might be, somebody that was really honest in the press, had gotten a hold of those documents and run with them at that time, people at the highest level also would potentially have been put in jail for treasonous acts. And it's really discouraging when people, you know, you have people on one hand who say, give us, somebody supply us with documentation that really holds up, that is the smoking gun, and we'll go ahead and move forward with the investigation. And, of course, what they did with Sonny was killed him. They killed him within a week or so before he had gotten back to open up his inquiry. There are many other people, witnesses, and people that were directly involved with all of these scurrilous acts that we're talking about that were killed. The list is very similar to the around the Iran-Contra inquiry. It's a very, very similar list like it was around the Kennedy assassination. There are well over a few hundred, 130 to 200 people that could be mysteriously labeled as taken out from these investigations. So it's pretty scary. It's very depressing. It's very upsetting. It reaches the point where you really almost throw in the towel, but they've so terribly corrupted all manner of government in the United States that when I see small things like people coming forward and finding out somebody's a homosexual senator or a senator or congressman or somebody that's sleeping with three different people besides his wife or financially stealing $100,000 on the side, they become insignificant, small, corrupted acts compared to what's really going on.
Well, it's a sad commentary, but I can certainly think of how they put George Hansen in prison. They tortured him for 10 years in prison, and he was a congressman. He was a great guy. He didn't do anything wrong other than the fact that he went over to Iran, and the Iranians were quite willing to release the hostages, came back, and they didn't want to hear that sort of thing. They trumped up charges with him. They put him in prison. 10 years later, they said, Oh, we were wrong. Too bad, George. We ruined your health. We bankrupted you. We tortured you for 10 years. But of course, one of the things when George Hansen got out of prison, he went back and showed the congressman the scars on his legs from where he had been dieseled, for weeks at a time. And of course, that put the fear of God into the congressman. They weren't going to stand up because they did. They killed Hale Boggs. Congressman Hale Boggs was on the Warren Commission when his plane went down in Alaska. Why, the FBI knew where the plane was. And the first on board was a man who was running for Congress. His name was Bakich. It was Nick Bakich, his dad, the fellow who wrote Angels Don't Play This Harp. And Nick told me the story. They knew exactly where his dad was in Hale Boggs, and they prevented any rescue attempts, and they all starved to death. That was Congressman Hale Boggs. What was his crime? Why, he was on the Warren Commission, and he didn't believe in the lone gunman theory, and he was going to make a public statement on that, and that could not be allowed. And so they put Congressman Jim Traficant into prison using perjured testimony, kept him there for 7 years. You have to be very careful what you say when you're a United States congressman. It can be almost lethal, as Sonny Bono found out. Go right ahead.
And I had met with Congressman Hansen in a hotel I believe it was in Orlando, Florida, rather covertly. And I turned a lot of paperwork to him, some of the stuff, and some of the things that he brought forward had come directly through my hands as well. This is, prior to them, taking care of him, getting him out of the way. When I think back, there's a story that I never got into, and that was also the Congressman McDonald that was on board the Korean aircraft, the one that
007, right?
He, Right, the 007. And I had a fellow meet with me when I was so profusely involved with these investigations around 1989. And he had met, you know, there's a lot of rhubarb about whether some of those people were alive or not. They never found all the bodies, you know, in that that crazy plane.
When they found the plane, it was actually sunk about 60 feet offshore. There were no bodies on it. There was no luggage. They obviously taken the people in the plane, the luggage off the plane before the plane was sunk. So I believe, of course, that they had to silence Larry McDonald because he was trying to tell the American people that the government was financing the communists. They had financed them all during the Vietnam War. How could we let the American people know that he sent our boys over to fight and bleed and suffer to die while we were financing the North Vietnamese? We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, in my story that I've never even told before, I don't believe, in the best of my memory.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
The same prison with Larry McDonald, and of course the government knew that. They wanted to get rid of him, and so he was taken captured by the Russians. Everybody on board those planes was taken to prison, and none of them have ever been heard from since then. If you'd like to get our Larry McDonald special, we have a four-tape set on that. We have some government reports on it, but the information that they do not want the American people to know. After all, they killed Sonny Bono. Certainly they killed Hale Boggs. They put George Hanson in prison for 10 years. They put Traficant in prison for 7 years. This is the sort of thing that happens to congressmen. who try to get the truth out. Could these things really go on in America? Well, I hate to say it, but to look on the story on Hale Boggs, who went down and his plane went down in Alaska. You're not going to find this on the Internet, but you can verify what I say. The story is told by Nick Begich, who wrote the book, Angels Don't Play This Harp. Well, lots of other things we don't have time to get into today, but this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that we're on the front lines of the spiritual battle, and quite frankly, we need your help financially, and if you're not in a position to help financially, then we ask you to pray. For Radio Liberty, for our staff and our family, for our provision and protection, because this is the sort of thing that they do not want to get out. And we hope that you will stand with us. Certainly remember, we're having our all-day conference on the 17th of October, and we're bringing in speakers from across the country. You're going to need reservations. Okay, we're serving lunch at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we want you to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We want you to read our newsletters at RadioLiberty.com. We want you to get our pamphlets on the financial crisis, certainly on the prophetic warning. That's the five articles on Andrew Jackson's farewell address in 1837. Certainly on the prior knowledge as far as they knew about the attack on the World Trade Center. And they left those people there to die. We've got four pamphlets on what happened on September 11th, each 150 pages. You